Shall I start again? Thank you. Is that all right now? Is it working? No?
It's on.
Okay now. Is it working again now?
Yeah.
Yep. Listen, my lover. Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My lover is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. My dove in the clefts of the rock, the hiding places on the mountainside. Show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. My lover is mine, and I am his. He browses among the lilies until the day breaks and the shadows flee. Turn, my lover, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city, through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till they brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not arouse or waken love until it so desires.
Thanks, Naomi. I want you to think of a relationship that you have with a friend. If you're married, you might want to think of your spouse, but it can just be, it doesn't have to be a romantic friendship, just a good friend. Think about how that friendship started. One of you had to make the first move towards the other in extending friendship. Do you fancy going to grab a coffee together sometime? Or, oh, I'd like to get to know you more, let's go out for a meal together. I don't know how it was. In relationships, that first move is always full of risk, isn't it? What if I'm rejected and they don't want to be my friends? And in romantic relationships, that jeopardy is even more because you risk your heart getting broken and your hopes dashed. See, relationships are never static things. In every relationship we're in, we're either moving closer together or we're drifting further apart. And in today's passage, we see this movement between wanting to be near and yet a seeming withdrawal from closeness. Now, some context for you, those of you that weren't here last week and you're thinking, why on earth are we looking at this rather strange book? Well, Song of Songs is a book of love poetry. It is describing the relationship between a king and his fiancée. At this point in the poem, they're not yet married. We're going to get to that next time. But as God's word to us, we know that this book isn't just an affirmation of romantic love and sex within marriage as God's good gifts. Throughout Scripture, the relationship between God and his people is often portrayed as a relationship between a husband, God, and wife, all believers. Or a picture between Jesus as the bridegroom and his church. So as we read this poetry together, it's almost as if we've got to have two horizons. At the moment, I'm waiting for two glasses. My eyes don't work together in sync. So I'm focusing, they're trying to focus on two different things at the same time, which is a bit weird. But it's not so weird when we do it in Scripture. We have two horizons in view, two things to focus in on. One, we're asking the question, what does this part of God's word teach us about love and sex and marriage? But also, we're asking the bigger question beyond, how does knowing God through faith in Jesus bring me into an experience of this greatest love of all, the love of our perfect, glorious God for his people? So we need to hold those two horizons in view. Now, the part of the poem that we're looking at this afternoon is bookended by the same command from the woman. Look at verse 7 of chapter 2. And then it's exactly the same in verse 5 of chapter 3. So we know we have a distinct unit in this poetry. And in this movement, we're going to see three movements in the relationship. We're going to see seeking, we're going to see waiting, and we're going to see absence. So let's start off in verses 8 to 13 and think about seeking. Because this part of the poem begins with the king seeking out his fiancée. Listen to how she describes his movement towards her. Let's read verse 8 and 9 together again. She wants everyone to know, listen, my beloved, look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, there he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. She's describing her fiancé coming from a distance over mountains and hills until he's really close at her house, peering in through the windows. Now, if you've ever been to a zoo, or if some of you have been to countries where you've seen wild gazelles or antelopes, but boy, can they move. If there's anything that's in their obstacle, like a rock, an obstacle in their way, like a rock or a fallen tree, they just bound over it, effortless. They're fast animals. And that's the picture of her fiancé and his efforts to seek her out and draw her near to him. He's moving from far away, the mountains and the hills, and coming to close at hand, peering through the windows, seeing if he can see her. Relationships involve that coming across distance to draw near to someone. In every human friendship, when we make an effort to reach out to someone, to befriend them. And it's always worthwhile. Think of it when you're on the receiving end. Isn't it always life-affirming when someone wants to get to know you? They're interested in you, whether that's a new friendship, whether it's meeting somebody new in the church family, or whether it is a possible romantic relationship. It's good, isn't it, to feel wanted. As we emerge out of lockdown, I wonder who could you be reaching out to befriend? Because in this pandemic, we've got used to shutting ourselves away and withdrawing. Who could you move towards? Maybe even this week, by expending some energy and effort, like the man does in the poem, overcoming obstacles of maybe your inertia or the pandemic. But when we consider that this man in this poem is representative of Jesus, then we get an even more wonderful picture. When we see ourselves as the woman, his fiancée, we see Jesus coming to us because he wants to know us personally and he wants us to know him. He wants us to be with him. If you're here and you wouldn't yet call yourself a Christian or you're listening online, we're really pleased that you're with us or you're listening. I want you to know that's the heart of the Christian faith. God desires you to know him personally. In sending Jesus, he literally moved heaven and earth to restore our broken relationship with him. Jesus is like that gazelle in the poem, leaping over every obstacle towards those he loves, you and I, driven by his divine passion for us. One pastor puts it this way, Jesus' journey took him from eternity into history, infinity into humanity, heaven to a manger, a cross, and an empty tomb. You see, Christ Jesus' love drew him to come near. There's also a sense that this wasn't just a historical event 2,000 years ago when Jesus came and died and rose again to deal with our sin, which destroys this relationship of love with our Creator. Now, there's a sense also that by his Spirit, he continues to draw near to us, desiring that close relationship. Every time we meet together as a church, he desires to draw us close to him. Every time you open his word to hear his voice, every time you talk to him in prayer, he wants to draw you near to him. But I wonder how we respond to that. Often I can be like the woman in these verses, hidden away in her house. Or like verse 14, where he describes her as a dove hidden in the clefts of the rocks, in the hiding place of the mountains, inaccessible. What causes us to hide from him? Maybe the awareness of our own lack of love for him makes us hide. Maybe the shame that we feel about our ongoing moral dirtiness before him. But by his Spirit, he knows all those things. And he comes to us in his love and his desire for us to know him and to live securely in his love. So I wonder, are you welcoming his move towards you? Or are you hiding from him or keeping him at a respectable distance, scared of being fully known or nervous maybe of being let down? You know, by his Spirit, even now as you're listening to this message, it's as if he's peering through the lattice, not of your windows, but of your heart, desiring you to come away with him and to know his love. Listen to what he says in verses 10 to 13. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. See, the winter's passed, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear in the earth, the season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me. Do you notice he's saying, now's the time for love. Winter, with all its barrenness and hibernation, and cold is gone. It's springtime. New life in the natural world. New growth. Start of fruitfulness. Warmth. Change. It's a picture of what our relationship with God can be like through faith in Jesus. As we go with him, as it were, and know his love brings that transformation to the cold and wintry parts of our hearts and our lives. As we hear Jesus' invitation to us to come with him and know his love, perhaps we need to pray again. Father, enable me to respond to that invitation, to open my heart to you as I sense you're moving towards me by your Spirit. We see him seeking us out. But also we see waiting in verses 14 to 17. Because in our poem, what does the woman do to this invitation? Well, she actually stays hidden away because she knows in their earthly relationship, it isn't the right time yet for that relationship to be consummated. Their wedding day is not here. We get to the start of the wedding in verse 6, but we're not there yet. Now, the indications in our Bible text where it says he and she are not there in the original. They've been put in by Bible editors to help us to follow the poem more easily. But you'll notice from different translations, they sometimes put them in slightly different places. And I think other translations are right in that they start the woman speaking in verse 15. So she says in verse 15, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in full bloom. There are so many foxes, if you like, that can ruin the vineyards of our sexual purity. So many ways that we can mar the beauty of God's design for our sexuality. Because of the fall, we're all sexually fallen in different ways. Our thought lives, our attraction to pornography or desiring sexual relationships out of that committed one marriage relationship lifelong to one person. The woman desires purity. And so she tells him in verse 17, until the day breaks and the shadows flee, turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or like a young stag on the rugged hills. Basically, I love you, But we need to wait until we've entered that security of that lifelong covenant relationship of marriage. To turn around and go and do your manly stuff, bounding over the hills and mountains until the marriage breaks on the day breaks on our marriage day. It's a reminder that God's great design in creating us as sexual beings, as gender beings, is to enjoy sex within the relationship he created it for, marriage. It's a reminder that we need to make that daily decision to keep the vineyard of our own lives free from the foxes that would ruin its purity. Waiting is not easy. Last week we heard of the woman's desire for her fiancé, but it's for our good. Christ Jesus was totally pure, fully human, but totally pure, and he lived the most authentic human life ever. But we also need to know, don't we, that Jesus' love can turn the winters we have created for ourselves through misusing his good gift of sexuality. He can turn those winters into spring again. When we come to him in love and trust and turn from our past lives, he wipes our sexual sin clean. Now, it's not a reason to go on flouting his good design. We want to say, like the woman here in verse 15, catch for us the foxes that would ruin the vineyards of our sexual purity. But there is grace to wipe away our shame and for him to make us his own. If that's you, if you're particularly aware of your past and the shame that you feel, then you can come to him today. We've seen him seeking. We've seen some waiting. But now we see something even more strange, an absence in verses 1 to 5. Of chapter 3. And the woman's dreaming again. Remember last week she was having a pretty strong dream. Well, she's dreaming again this time, but it's more of a nightmare. Look at verse 1 to 3 again. All night long on my bed, I look for the one my heart loves. I look for him, but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city through its streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I look for him, but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? See, in her dream, her fiancé is missing. She's thinking about the time ahead when they're married, and he's not there. He's distant. She can't find him. And in the culture of her day, she does something quite risky. She goes out at night time as a single woman. She risks being assaulted, but she's that desperate to find him. She goes out looking in every street and every city square. She comes across the night watchman and she asks them, you know, the friendly policemen out on their beat, have you seen him? But they haven't. She's desperate. She earnestly is seeking him. She feels his absence so keenly. And then suddenly in her dream, like things do happen suddenly in dreams, don't they? There he is. Verse 4. Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. See, she doesn't want to feel that loss ever again. She doesn't want to feel the loss of his presence. So she clings on to him. She's not wanting illicit sex. She wants to bring him back to the heart of her family home and life. She wants marriage. But again, before she lets her thought life run away with her again, she repeats her caution. In verse 5, daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires. Now, when we think of this being a picture of Jesus being the groom-to-be and us being the woman as the church, what are we to make of that? Why is he absent and then suddenly there again? Many Christians down the centuries, and perhaps this has been your experience, have had times when it has felt as if Jesus is distant from them. Maybe you had a time when your relationship with him felt so immediate, you were so assured of his love, you felt the warmth of that close fellowship with him, and then suddenly you're aware that that's changed. It feels different. It feels as if Jesus has withdrawn or he's distant from you. The Puritans in the 17th century called this experience spiritual desertion. That sense of asking, where are you, Jesus? Sometimes that sense of absence we might experience is because we've withdrawn. You know, we've deliberately gone off in our sin and we've grieved the Holy Spirit. Well, we know what to do in that situation. We need to repent and know restored fellowship. Sometimes that feeling that Jesus is hidden from us can be because our consciences are actually too tender. We think we've grieved him when actually we haven't at all. And we need to be reassured of his loving presence. But sometimes, like the withdrawal of her fiancé in these verses, there seems to be no sin involved. There seems to be no reason. That sense of loss might come to us because we're in a trying situation. We experience a bereavement or family problems or work struggles or health issues that are just constantly there. And it makes it feel to us as if Jesus is distant. And we feel like we're saying, well, where are you in this, Jesus? Whatever the reason we might experience a supposed sense of the absence of Jesus, it's usually God's way of reawakening our hearts to follow hard after him. Often when we're aware of something that maybe we've lost or has changed, it's a way of God showing us the things that we're relying on in his place. It's a way of God weaning us off of our lesser loves, those things that have captivated and taken first priority in our lives above Jesus. Loves that have crowded out that desire to know him more. And it appears that Jesus withdraws, so that in missing that closeness with him we once enjoyed, we're spurred to seek him afresh, like the woman in the poem, in her dream, seeking him with new vigor and earnestness, in prayer, in worshiping, in hearing him in scripture. Because that's what the woman does here, doesn't she? She goes out and looks for him until she finds him again. Now, he wasn't playing a game with her. Jesus doesn't play games with us. But sometimes what is needed for our soul's good, for our desire for him to grow, is actually to experience a temporary sense that he's moved on. He's gone on ahead, actually, drawing us on after him as we seek him. It might be that for some of us here today, that's where we're at the moment. Perhaps for some of us, a long time. It feels as if that closeness we once knew has changed. And perhaps you haven't known what to do in that situation. Often we don't speak about it together because we think, am I a bit strange or is something wrong with me? But what we need to do is act like the woman in verse 2 and 3. Seek him again. Talk to him in prayer with fresh commitment. Seek to hear his voice and his word. Maybe like she talks to the watchman, talk to someone else in the church family who can encourage you to seek after Jesus. In our human relationships, we sometimes experience that disappointment of a relationship that was once close becoming more distant. When we experience that humanly, again, it's an experience that's to push us to that greater desire to know and be known by the lover of our souls, Jesus, the one who pursued his wayward people all the way to the cross and the empty tomb. You see, his desire is for us. He wants each of us to know that deep security of his love so that we can say with the woman in verse 16, my beloved is mine and I am his. So if he seems distant to you today and you are a Christian, or if it happens in the future, then commit afresh to seeking him and desiring that closeness from him again. In a moment, we're going to pray some words together on the screen that will help us to do that. If you're listening in and you're not yet, wouldn't yet say that you are a Christian, again, I hope you can see that Jesus died for your sin, a sin that actually stops you having a relationship with your Creator. Jesus died for your sins so that you can actually know this greatest love now and in eternity. Will you stop hiding and open your heart to him and begin this relationship that you were created to know? But for all of us, can we hear Jesus saying to us again, arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. Let's be quiet. for a moment, maybe for you just to reflect on what the Lord has said to you through these verses and offer that to him in silent prayer. Just a moment to do that, and then we're going to pray together some words from a book that are just really helpful to us as we respond to these verses. So a moment's quiet, a quiet prayer, and then we'll use these words. Put the words up on the screen. Just give you a minute to have a read of that so that you're happy praying this, and then we'll pray it out loud together. If you're happy to pray this, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came bounding from the mountain of high heaven to the village of earth to live and die for me. Thank you that one day you will return. Thank you that you keep moving towards my soul and calling me to come with you. Lord, I don't want you to feel distant. Help me when you do to go on trusting you. Help me to take that sense of distance and be energized by it to seek you again. Amen. We're going to end and respond in song. I've chosen The Lord is My Salvation because one of the verses talks about Jesus reaching out to us. And then one of the verses also talks about him turning winter into spring, and I just thought it fitted quite well with the verses we've read. So let's stand and use these words to seek him and to express our desire to know him as our Saviour. Let's stand and sing.